You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
It is. What's up? And welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Hewson, and today I'm joined by a very special, a legitimate Australian deathmatch kaiju. It is the one and only hardcore bitch. It is Vixen. How are you, my friend?
I'm fucking good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking a little bit dustier than you. We were saying off the mic because I've just woken up and you're a couple of hours ahead of me, but you're looking bright and early and looking motivated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially after last weekend.
So. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what we're here to talk about and everything that's coming up in the future. We're just a weekend off. Yeah, it is. It's a weekend off since the ICW Deathmatch Down Under Dream Weekend. We had a bunch of shows. There was a Thursday night show, which I was unfortunately not able to be a part of. And then we had the big weekend. Yeah, I know. Look, I'm about to go to Japan in like 13 days. I can only have much leave before my job fires me. So I was very excited to get over. We flew in bright and early that morning. We got up at like three. Did we fly out at 3 or get up at 3? We got up at 3, flew out at like 5, were in by 11:30 and got sorted and then over to the venue for 2 to see you guys. And it was a whirlwind weekend of like crazy wrestling and friends and just a general good time. How did you feel about everything?
So pretty nervous, but I always just get nervous. That's just me. I always just doubt myself, which is the story of my life. Pretty good. Like, I think better going into this tour than the last ICW tour because literally knew no one, like no one, like none of these American guys, like at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like, because as you know, a lot of deathmatch fighters have dropped off in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I feel at the moment we've got a really good crew. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally found my people, as to say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, going into it Thursday night, it was good. I had really good feeling. I had Say down as well, so I took him in the car with me and we're just talking shit in the car on the way there. But, yeah, it just felt really natural, really right. So, yes, I was nervous, but then I'm like, stop doubting yourself. Why do you always do this? Like, shake it off. Yeah. Grow the fuck up.
Exactly.
You've got this. And then I'm like, okay, cool. So, it was going into it was nervous at the start, but then I got over it. And I'm like, okay, let's fucking go.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, right? Because from the outside, like for me, I've considered you like, you know, a wrestling veteran and a deathmatch veteran for quite a while now. You know, you've had a very long career and you've been, you know, to Japan and all these places and, you know, championships and all these things. But it's interesting, like sometimes it's hard for us all to, you know, climb over the molehill, so to speak, of our lives, you know, of growing up and doing all that kind of stuff. It sticks with you, right? Like it's hard
definitely.
To let it go, even after all this time.
Like especially when you just brought when I broke into the business, females were treated a lot differently. Like is okay, you're chunky, so you're the heel.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do these moves. You can't do German's cloak. You had to do shit. Like you literally had to wrestle like a fucking diva, which is fine. No disrespect for that generation because that's all I had to watch back then anyway.
Yeah.
So there is some matches of me online that I look totally different and you'd be like, wow, is this Vixen?
Yeah.
Literally wearing a pink frilly skirt, pink Ugg boots, got the same hair color now. Like I've done a full circle, but it's just been strange, like so bizarre to me. I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did anyone ever have any hope? Like being told, no, you can't do this, or no, females don't do that, or this is how we're going to book you. Just being stuck in a slump for so long, and just being like, I come backstage and just being told, good match, And that's it. No feedback for a very long time.
Yeah. it must have been really hard. And like where it's funny when you say stuff like that and you look back at how far, you know, women's wrestling has come in, you know, the last 25 plus years, you know, considering what women's wrestling was. I mean, it barely even existed when I first started watching wrestling. And then where it is now, and somebody like yourself, it's pretty crazy. But it's easy for us to go, oh, yeah, you know, Vixen's kill it, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but I actually had to live that shit. Like, I actually had to constantly be, you know, told by senior wrestlers and bookers and stuff that I was no good, nothing for me, you know, you're this, you're that, and just trying to make it work. It really, to me, is a testament to how much you must fucking love wrestling to even put up with. You know,
like there would be times where my mum would come and drop me off at training, and just all the older guys were just like trying to pick her up, and I'm like, nah, don't take me anymore. I'll just get the fucking train. But yeah, it's no secret. Well, it probably is because I don't really talk about it. Uh-huh. That I come from a broken home at a very young age. Like a lot of shit went down, but
sorry.
I feel that makes me who I am today. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of Vixen as a fucking survivor and a fucking bully killer.
Yeah, sure.
That's cool. There was times at training, I would rock up to training. I'm like, oh, we're going to learn lucha today. But I've been told, oh, no, we can't teach you. Sit over there. And I'm like, can't you just show me? Like, if I'm shit, I'm shit. If I'm good at it, I'm good at it. I just want to fucking know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Michelle would know because she went through the same shit.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
It was very tough. It was – and there would be times that I would turn up to training and guys wouldn't want to train with me. Just because they didn't know how to train with a girl.
Yeah.
And so eventually, but when I first broke into the business, I was very shy. I was very timid, right?
Yeah.
I think watching a lot of death matches, like FMW and whatnot, uh-huh, helped me, like,
yeah,
grow a pair of balls. And I just told the guys, just treat me like a fucking guy. I just want to fucking learn.
Yeah.
So eventually it broke that wall down at training, which was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a crazy ride. Like being told earlier on not to throw Germans or do power bombs was just, I think of that now and I'm like, fuck, that's just so fucking weird.
Was the like mindset behind that, like, because you're a girl and there's no way you could be strong enough to pick up a guy or to do that move? Like, is that the logic? But like, I don't even fucking understand it. Like,
I think the logic was girls just need to look pretty. Like if you bend over and pick someone up, do it like your ass kind of out kind of thing.
Oh,
just
shit.
Be pretty about it. Just like you just treat it as a sideshow.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Which, you know, I knew no better. I did that shit. I did some bizarre fucking wrestling when I first started. I dressed strange.
Yeah.
And I do remember as soon as I turned 18, so many fucking wrestlers try to pick me up and I'm like, no, I'm a professional. Like I'm here to fucking learn. Like you can fuck off.
Yeah.
So I started to like defend myself. And if it wasn't for another wrestler, Chucky Chaos at the time, he actually stood up for me a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
He actually gave me a lot of strength because
awesome.
A lot of shit was going down at home. And he offered me to move in with him.
Uh-huh.
Which was really nice, like rent-free. Like it was super nice. Like I didn't realize people were nice at all. I didn't think it was a thing.
Yeah.
Just training, getting on shows, and like just having people like him stand up for me and other people like Ricky Diamond standing up for me and even George the Hitman telling fucking other gross older wrestlers to fuck off.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
That helped me a lot.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, self-doubt and whatnot, but pushed through it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, you must have really loved wrestling to continue through it all. And it is nice to hear that despite all that stuff, you did manage to still find an escape and acceptance in there, you know, with certain people. You found people that you could trust and they ended up gathering around you. That's really nice to hear, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like guys like Cracker Jack, Mad Dog, Jungle Cat. I don't know if you know who Jungle Cat is.
I don't know.
They just treated me like one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like, you want to train? Like, I had my first ever mixed tag death match from Raneem. I love you, Raneem. Thank you so much for booking that shit, because without you, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
And I always tell him that. He's like, no, I was just a dumb kid. I'm like, no, that means the fucking world to me.
Yeah.
So that match at SDF where I wrestled, it was me and Mad Dog versus Chucky Chaos and Vita Loca. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm going to send you it because it's fucking funny. It's like in a warehouse, 20 people.
Okay.
Just like that is where I found myself. Like,
is that how long you've been tagging with Mad Dog as well? Like,
yeah, like almost 17, 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Probably longer, probably 19 years.
That's like impressive.
Tagging on and off.
Yeah.
Him being a great mentor,
sure.
Especially in hardcore wrestling, because he has quite a history in Japan. Same with Cracker Jack. Like I had my first singles death match against Cracker Jack at Wrestle Rock.
That
shit was fucking wild. Yeah. Like, I worked that day. I nearly cut my thumb off at work as being a chef. I'm like, no, I'll just tape it up. It's fine. I'm not going to fucking miss this.
Yeah.
I probably should have got stitches because I was just bleeding through the whole match. But, yeah, sometimes I don't know. No.
Well, look, I mean, you said to me, you're like, you know, you were watching those hardcore tapes and deathmatch tapes and stuff from like very early on in your career. So when the opportunity finally came to do one, there's no way you miss it, right? Sorry.
Oh,
there's
no
way you're going to miss it, right? Sorry, the mic cut out. Well, the dogs are going crazy.
No fucking way. Like, nah. I wasn't going to miss it for the world. Like, it was finally someone had given me an opportunity. Someone had believed in me to do a hardcore match or a death match, whatever you want to call it at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels so surreal looking back.
I mean,
no going back.
It is surreal looking back because, like, since I've known you, you know, you've is around the Deathmatch Down Under era, and you've always been like, you know, what from the outside to me looks like a veteran and a locker room leader. Like, we were just doing the cleanup for the ICW weekend, and you were just like controlling that crew, telling down the ring, yelling at people and getting it all moving and like running the entire show. And I was like, of course Vixen fucking runs the place. She's like the mama bear of this situation. And but like to hear of you like a timid, worried Vixen trying to figure it out just seems like two completely different people. So I hope you sometimes reflect and look back and go, I've come a long way in that time.
Yeah, definitely. Like I did ring crew for a very long time before I even got a spot as a manager or in a rumble.
Yeah.
I think it's just important to know that we're all on the same side.
Yeah.
Like everyone helps. It doesn't matter if you've been wrestling 23 years or 2 years or whatever. Like we are a community. We're a family, especially deathmatch, because I find deathmatch gets a lot of fucking shit. But yeah, but all those guys did fucking great, and your fucking wife's amazing, by the way.
She is, isn't she?
Like, what the fuck? You come all the way from Perth to help out?
Yeah.
Like that, it just blows my mind.
It was an interesting way to spend our wedding anniversary, I'll say that. But that's how fucking cool she is. You know what I mean? Like she, it wasn't like I need to be taking
if she
a dinner.
Married, like watch out. All I can say.
No, I've had her locked down for quite some time. And when I first met Amy, like we were just always into the same stuff. We like almost immediately became best friends in a lot of ways, just because she likes cool stuff and she's like a bit of a tomboy and like, you know, she doesn't think all my interests are stupid and nerdy, you know what I mean? Like she's always down for an adventure. Like she would rather, you know, like I said, it was our wedding anniversary. She would rather fly across the country and go scream at death matches and hang out with you crazy people and stuff than like go to a 5-star restaurant and, you know, drink a nice bottle of wine and stuff. We like to do that stuff too, but she's always down for like life experiences over, you know, bullshit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. It was mine and my partner's 18th year anniversary on Saturday too.
Oh, really? There you go. It was our technically It was our 6-year wedding anniversary and 16 years together. We ended up eloping, but like not really planning it in a sense. Like we kind of left the door open for it when we went to Vegas. We went over for the Double or Nothing weekend when AEW kind of first started. She surprised me with tickets for our 10-year anniversary. And we were like, if we're having a great time and we like Vegas, we'll just get married. Like it was like that low key, you know, and we did and never looked back sort of thing. So I think a lot of it is timing.
Like, definitely.
Had we not done that trip, I don't know when we would have got married because we both hate the entire ceremony of it all, you know.
Oh, yeah, like no. Yeah. I totally agree with you that. Like, I've went to a few friends' weddings in the past and I'm like, oh, this is too – it's too – brutal kind of thing.
Amy always cries at weddings, but not because like, oh, it's a wedding, it's so beautiful. She's just like, I hate the fakeness of it and it like overloads me to the point where I can't actually be here anymore. Like I hate the pageantry, the family, the bullshit, the carrying on, the speeches, just all of it wears her out.
It's all a wank fest really.
Yeah.
Like I don't like fake people or fake situations.
Yeah.
But going back to
complete fucking side hatch we went on then. Sorry.
But going back to helping with the ring and whatnot, mm-hmm. I think it's important, especially for the newer guys, to lead by example. Because mm-hmm. there's so many people that just delegate shit. But even in real life, like I find if you're a leader, mm-hmm. not a boss, if you're a fucking leader, uh-huh. people will appreciate what you're doing a lot more. And, you know, I just go on autopilot. I just do it. I just don't even think. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. Okay, come on, let's help. Because mm-hmm. I would like to get out of here and have a fucking beer.
Yeah. That's what Amy and I like too. It's why, you know, we jumped in and helped and did all that stuff. We're like, that mop's empty, things, you know, whatever, respect the venue. We want to see, you know, like you guys hopefully come back here again and these people have been amazing. So, you know, it was just natural for us to like jump in and, you know, assist
we
the team.
Appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We yeah, absolutely. We love you guys. And so, of course, we're going to try and help out where we can. So, but it was an amazing weekend. You had the opportunity to wrestle Madman Pondo and Dale Patrick's amazing match, like a singles match with Madman Pondo that I really enjoyed. Maybe one of my highlights of the weekend, as well as like the tournament itself. So maybe we just rewind a little bit and let's just go through your matches over the weekend to give people a highlight of what they're going to be watching when it comes out on IWTV, and also just see what kind of side anecdotes that spawns for us. Eh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so on the Thursday night, you and Miss Fortune came into the weekend as the Deathmatch Down Under Tag Team Champions, yeah?
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory there. Mm-hmm. Actually, me and Mad Dog were the Deathmatch Champions.
Yes.
Tag Team Champions. The DMDU Tag Team Champions.
Yes.
But he got injured in December last year. He broke his fucking arm, snapped in half.
It's brutal.
It's been a fucking disaster. I wrestled Miss Fortune in February. Uh-huh. We had a show, Brainbuster. I wrestled her in a singles match. Uh-huh. And then that night, we wrestled DMDU in a death match, her first death match. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell her or anything that, like, you know, you will take Mad Dog's spot while he's injured, if not more, after this death match if you do good, because that's a fucking lot of pressure to put on someone.
Absolutely. So, she was amazing, like, the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she's very
fucking
impressive.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Don't sleep on her. She's fucking magic. She's got it. She's got it.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm just there to give her a bit of a boost. Like, she's doing it all herself.
Yeah.
Nothing's me. It's all her.
Yeah.
So anyway, after the match, I spoke to Joel and I'm like, Joel, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes. Yeah. Yes, this is what I want to do. It's so funny. She's so cute. At one of the No Ring shows we had for Mad Earth, I'm like, okay, we're tagging today. Hold this. She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, yep. You're my tag team partner now. Like, you fucking deserve the spot. Done the match. Don't think she quite figured out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Done the match. Come back. And I'm like, okay, you take this home now. She's like, what? No. Well, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, we're a team now. this is fucking official.
There was no like in the ring mic announcement. It's just like, no, you just are. Like, this is just what it is.
No, because this is so cute. It was my decision. It was a personal decision, really, because I could have picked fucking anyone, or I could have just waited and just like, no, that's not fair. Like, I'm a fighting champion. Mad Dog, you know, fully respected the idea and helped me choose as well. So yeah, going into that weekend with Miss Fortune was special.
Yeah,
definitely special.
That's really great. And then so what you're telling me is you guys had only really had like a match as tag team champions before then your second match being against the Big Japan tag team champions, Matt Hampton and Dale Patricks in Bucket Gaijin on the Thursday, right?
So on the Friday, on the Thursday, I wrestled Danny.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm mixing them up.
You're just planning dream matches here.
I am. But yeah, I wasn't there on Thursday and I'm going by memory. Come on. I haven't done any research. So I'm not a real journalist.
Danny, I just gave him a bit of a reminder what Aussie hardcore or deathmatch is all about.
Uh-huh.
As you can see probably on the extras coming out on the ICW DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't easy on him. Fuck him.
Fair enough.
He can take it. He's a big boy.
I mean, it's not the first time you fought Daddy, right? So at this stage.
Oh, no. I wrestled him in the pit the last ICW tour.
Yeah.
But this was in the actual ring this time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he got fucked up.
I can't wait to see that one.
Aussie gusset plates. I think I'll be taking those with me.
Aussie gusset plates. More dangerous than a regular gusset plate.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I don't half ask shit too, so that fuck is staying in.
Yeah, fair. It's part of it.
And Saturday, it was Danny and Kobe.
Yeah, Cody Manhorn. We wrestled
them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the first proper death match as a team with Miss Fortune.
Oh, okay.
She did fucking amazing.
She did.
At
one point it sort of looked like there was a bit of a rough landing from like a real high German. She was good?
She's a bit banged up, but she'll get through it. She's fucking tough.
Yeah, sure.
She's fucking crazy. Uh-huh. She reminds me a lot of my younger self.
Okay.
Which is fucking amazing. Like, it's reminded myself it's okay to be myself again.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's definitely she helped me out so much that weekend, mm-hmm. just with being with me helped so much.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that tag match, yeah, she took a bit of a rough German,
mm-hmm.
But she fucking powered through it. What else happened in that match? Oh, after the match,
mm-hmm.
I got invited.
Yes.
To go to America for ICW.
Yes.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Is this real?
Yeah.
Like, is this real life right now?
Uh-huh.
It felt like, do you know that scene in The Sopranos where he gets really bad diarrhea and he's having fever dreams?
Yes. It's very wild. I know it's very, it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Very like, pinpointy. It kind of felt like that, but like a good fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is this fucking real? Is this, like, I don't know. Like, I'm a big believer nothing actually happens in wrestling until you're in that moment.
Yeah.
And being in that moment, I just was like shell shocked, trying not to break character. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this real?
Yeah. That's very exciting. It was a very nice moment because, the match unfortunately didn't go your guys' way. But now that I understand the history of your, like, you were still a pretty new team, that sort of explains why they managed to get the better of you this once, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you guys are done at all. And so that then leads to Danny, on the mic, essentially saying how much he values Vixen and inviting her to the States to wrestle for ICW. So you obviously didn't know that was going to happen and are still a little bit shook about it.
Yeah, I still think about it. I'm like, is this happening? Is this real? Like, I don't know. It's just ever since I was a kid with all those wrestling posters on my fucking wall, I had an American flag on my wall.
Really?
Wow. I had American flag and Japanese flag. I'm like, okay, in life, this is what I'm going to fucking do.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell me else otherwise. But my mum did not want me to start wrestling. She's yeah, okay. Oh, they're all sleazy, blah, blah, blah. My dad was a huge supporter for it. Okay. But yeah, I was telling Danny that after the match and he was like, oh, shit. So, yeah, I plan to go there in the second half of the year. It still feels like a fever dream. Like it doesn't feel real.
I'm sure. Like I could see it in your face. Like you didn't really expect it. And it's been a goal for you for a long time. And, I mean, you've wrestled in Japan. It's not strange for you to wrestle in other countries. But this one, like, hit a little bit deeper for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, for someone to actually fucking believe in me, like Danny and Joel, like, mm-hmm. It's just, I don't even know how to react to that because sure. I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
Like, since DMDU started, Joel has been my number one fucking supporter.
Yeah.
He's just like, yep, this is your match. You'll be fine. You'll do great. Don't worry. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, freaking out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's fucking time that I pick myself up, dust myself off. Like I know what I've got. I know for a fact. I know I have what it takes. Mm-hmm. And for all those fuckers who have doubted me, mm-hmm. or just if you're not a fan, I don't really give a fuck because yeah. at the end of the day, when I walk through my front door, it's just me, right? I'm not bringing a barrage of people that I don't fucking hardly know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, not to toot my own horn, but I've worked 23 years for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when it fucking actually happens, the world's not going to be fucking ready. I've got an advice from Lobo, Mad Dog, Crackerjack, all the deathmatch greats in this country.
Yeah.
And I'll be taking them with me. And sure. a good friend of mine recently passed away, Ryan Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be coming with me too because sure. he's always been a supporter of deathmatch. Like, you're fucking crazy. He's like telling me for years and years, go to Mexico, go to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I've got to hit the States first. Like I have yeah. to, like that is the number one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's time to show people what Vixen's all about and what Aussie deathmatch is all about.
Absolutely. That's awesome because, you know, if we look at the theme of this conversation and stuff, you know, you start out and you're trying to get into wrestling and people are trying to put you in boxes. And I'm sure over that entire, you know, run, that's been the constant thing. Like, what can we use her for? And she's going to be a heel and she's going to do that. But what it's starting to show is that if you, you know, you look outside the local scene and stuff and you start to see how people worldwide see you, you have something pretty special and different to offer. And so it's time to capitalize on that and, yeah, just do your best and be Vixen.
Yeah, definitely. Like this tour is going to be for every fucking cunt that's told me no, you can't do this. Or just no in life in general. Like
yeah.
I've always been in survival mode, mm-hmm. but it's now to go fucking full Vixen mode and show fucking everyone what I'm made out of. If you ever doubted me, fuck you. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. Not pulling any punches, just going
sorry for the swearing.
No, this is Faces and Feels. That's what we fucking do. So as it after that, the next match was the ICW No Holds Barred match, and that was against Matt Mampondo. That's right. And Dale was on commentary with me when we were chatting it up. How was the match against Pondo? Because I absolutely loved that. That felt like two living legends of deathmatch. It felt like a huge, big fight for you. Had you wrestled Pondo before that?
So when you come to Australia last time, I wasn't allowed to go to the show. My mum wouldn't let me go.
Oh, really? Because this was 2006, something like that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't drive at the time and I lived out in the fucking western suburbs. I had no fucking idea of trains and whatnot. There was something that stopped me and it really pissed me off because
yeah.
so I could, you know, I wanted to go because it was such a fucking inspiration to me anyway.
Yeah.
In the style of wrestling that he does.
Uh-huh.
But I got a hold of DVDs and whatnot. And when I seen his shit, I'm like, fuck, this is fucking amazing, mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Like there was a match with him, Mad Dog, and Mike Manson. I think it was at the Greyhound. Oh, it's going back a long time. It hurts my brain. But yeah, after seeing all this shit and just like being told the stories and the moments that people have had with Pondo, I'm like, fuck, one day I'm going to fucking wrestle him. Like, I don't care what I have to do, where it's going to be. I just need to tick it off my list. So I have a pretty big list of shit that I want to get done. And when I was told I was wrestling him, I was like, fuck, this is amazing. Like, this is mind-blowing. Like, is this even fucking real? Again, self-doubt and myself and whatnot, but but fuck it. I'm just going to fucking do it and it's going to be fucking amazing. Fuck everyone. Again.
The theme of the podcast, fuck everyone.
I've just been, I think people have mistaken my niceness for a weakness for a long time, like behind the scenes. But yeah, the match itself was fucking amazing. I did actually send pictures to my dad of getting stabbed in the head and whatnot. And he's just like, that's fucking cool. But yeah, just working with someone with so much fucking experience. Like, I think he's the most experienced wrestler I've ever wrestled.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, he's been active for a long time, and especially in the deathmatch space.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it did give me a lot of confidence. I learned a lot from him. He may not even know. I think even Miss Fortune learned a bit from that match because she's there ringside, like in the moments, in my head, in my moments as well for that match, going into that match. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
And I hope it made it feel every fucker in there feel uncomfortable.
Look, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Had heaps of fun, and there was like some fun antics after the match and things like that. It just the whole weekend. I mean, even in the ring afterwards and stuff, like just. The last ICW weekend, you know, a few years ago was one of the most fun times I've ever had in wrestling, and this was right up there with it, you know. Like, it was a great couple of days.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it was – I've just been on a natural high all week. Like, even if you told me, like, even if I wasn't going to America, if that wasn't a thing, I'm just still on this natural high, and I think, honestly, the last year's been pretty fucked. For me personally, like a lot of shit's going on with work, with personal life, whatever. But I have found my, I have found myself again and found my purpose and realized it's okay to be a fucking deathmatch wrestler. There's a lot of shit goes down, and you know, I fucking hate politics. Like, you like me or not, whatever, I don't care. I just stay out of it unless it you know, affects me personally and or directly. Like, I've been involved in shit backstage at shows. Like, funny story, funny backstage story, if that's okay. So I wrestled Michelle in Brisbane or Queensland, whatever it was. Can't remember the promotion name. I think it was Van Halen, something like that. Anyway, we had the match. We had a little hardcore match, which was fun, really fun, because we hadn't seen each other for fucking years, and like our goal was to have a fucking death match.
I mean, in your circle of female wrestlers in Australia when you guys were coming up, this is Michelle K. Haslach, for anybody that doesn't know, from Dude, Where's My Ring here in Perth, would have been really small. So when you got to have those, like, you know, matches against each other, let alone ones that you wanted to have, because I know you were both really into, like, deathmatch and hardcore and things like that, it must be so special when you get those opportunities.
So we had the match, we got backstage, we're both on a fucking high, like, yeah, that was really fun. It sucks there wasn't many people, but it is what it is. Like, I'm literally taking off my boots, like unlacing my boots. And some fucking wrestler's partner was there, and she's like, yeah, that's disgusting. I don't really like that, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's disrespectful. And I fucking lost my shit. Like, I'm a pretty cool, calm, humbled person, I think. Well, I think I am, I don't know. Until you piss me off. And something just fucking clicked in my head, and I'm like, what, why the fuck are you even backstage? Like, what are you saying? Like, get the fuck out. Oh, I'm someone's girlfriend. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. This is my backstage. This is our workspace. This is our private fucking element, era, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
I never seen someone get up and fucking leave so quick. And then after the show, everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, sorry, but you literally disrespected my art in my workspace.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm trying to cool down. I've just done this physical thing. We're trying to do that. And you felt the need to just come in and tell me, like, fuck off.
Michelle was shocked. Like, oh, we still talk about it to this day. But yeah, like, it's just literally bullying backstage.
Yeah.
Like, if I see bullying or anything backstage or to my friends, you're in fucking trouble.
Game
because once you're my friend, right, I'm loyal. Like, that's it. Like, it's till death. I didn't give a fuck. If I'm really hard to crack, but once you crack me, like, I'm literally just going to spam the shit out of you with messages or, you know, annoying things. Like, I give it to Joel all the time, like, all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. He's like, calm down. I'm going to have to answer everything in pinpoints. But, yeah, that's a pretty funny backstage story.
You must have, you know, so many, like, things like that, like, so much bullshit that, like, most people wouldn't have to deal with, but – you know, coming up like you did, it would just be a constant spate of shit shows.
You know? Oh, yeah. Like, fair enough, you don't like deathmatch wrestling. I'm not going to force it upon anyone. Like, if you're a wrestler and you don't like deathmatch wrestling, that's fine. But don't literally disrespect me as soon as I've come backstage, like, chilling down after a match. Yeah. Like, if you don't like it, just keep your fucking mouth shut or don't watch it or just fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, it was a few wrestlers I've worked BCW on Friday with the Great Mood. That was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And they were getting shitty about weapons being in the ring. And I'm like, it's fucking nothing. It's some thumbtacks and some random shit.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, just keep your fucking mouth shut. Like, it's going to be cleaned up. If you don't like it, maybe you shouldn't have worked the show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, but I respect all different types of wrestling. Like, but it was just funny, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Some people are actually dicks backstage.
Yeah.
And I forget because I haven't – like, I mainly work DMDU, BCW, which is a really good locker room most of the time. And who else? I don't know, just some other random places. I pick where I want to work, where the vibe is good.
Yeah.
And there's no cunts. There's no dicks backstage.
Yeah.
If there is, if you're in my face, that's it.
You gotta hear about it.
Yeah, like, wrestling is meant to be a happy place for fucking everyone.
Yeah.
Like, get your cookie cutter fucking bullshit. Keep your mouth shut. Like, you should just respect everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just because it's something that you don't, you know, understand or whatever doesn't mean that everybody needs to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So as we look forward, do you have a date of when you're thinking about going to the States, or is it still like it's just an initial offer that's shot across your bow and you're just now figuring out the details and what you want to do?
Well, I do have the information, but I can't share yet.
Sure. No worries.
But
that's all I
All
need to
I know,
know
I've been told is a lot of fans are going to be happy.
Okay. That's so interesting. I wonder
what That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that.
But it is fucking happening.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I wish you were actually coming to the Japan shows that are coming up. It'd be good. I know.
See Joel and Kasai.
Yeah.
Fuck, that would have been amazing. Joel Takeda. Mm-hmm. Danny's first experience in Japan. Like, it's just, shit's been hard financially, like, over the last year. But things are just starting to fall into place now. If I had more time, I'd have definitely been there. I actually looked up flights the other day. Oh, how much is it going to cost to just go for the weekend?
Yeah.
But I just can't. I just can't make it happen, unfortunately.
No.
And again, I don't want to piss work off with leave. So
that's what I'm talking about.
I applied for my leave for America. It's been accepted. And I've got leave at another time of the year. So, yeah, just baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. One thing at a time. You know, world domination one step at a time.
I'll be stalking all the socials, so.
Yeah, there'll be
plenty of that. And your wife would be putting shit up because I'll be fucking stalking her Instagram.
I know you've been stalking her Instagram for quite some time because she tells a great Japanese travel story on there.
Oh, I love it. It gives me ideas too for when I go.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I went to Dream Labs last time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know it was a thing. Uh-huh. And a few other things. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing.
She, like, her hobby is just, like, researching stuff to do in Japan, basically.
Yeah. She needs to make a fucking channel about it because
I told her that. She has literally no interest in
in
social media and things like that. You know, she's one of the literal funniest people I know, but she just has no interest.
In all honesty, I get it because I fucking hate social media.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really share a lot of my personal life on there, but I'm going to try over the next few months, the lead up to America, just to
put in more
so people
effort.
Can follow me on my fucking journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell them where to follow you right now. That's a great segue.
So all my socials are Vixen86. That's X, Instagram, Facebook, and I've got TikTok too. Look at me go.
Oh, look at you.
I just like to watch gross videos on TikTok. Like, fucked up injury. I'm just fucking weird. I don't know what's wrong with me. But yeah, Vixen86 across all socials. Uh-huh. And if anyone ever wants to reach out, message for a chat, I'm always happy for a chat. Mm-hmm. Any advice, I'm happy to help.
Yeah.
Like whatever. Like I'm going to answer everyone. That's just what I do. I don't leave anyone in red because that's happened to me over the years and it pisses me off. Like it just be fucking nice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, that's awesome, and I think that's a pretty good motto to have just in general. Just be nice. Even in the world of deathmatch wrestling, you can still be nice.
Yeah, just be nice. Just be humble. Yeah. If someone's a dick, don't worry about it. Just go along with your business. Fuck it.
Absolutely. It's nice to be
Do you know,
nice.
I've literally still got fucking soup, like glue on my hands from gluing up Vic Craig's head.
Vic Craig. That man was leaking.
Oh, you should have seen him before the video. But he was just fucking gushing. I went over there and I'm like, why the fuck do you have a beer in your hand? It's going to make it worse. Well, I haven't had anything to drink yet. I'm like, nah, have this Gatorade. Sit down. I'm going to patch you up because I was working medic. I don't know if you know over there, DMD weekend.
I didn't know that.
Nurse Lady Vixen.
Yeah.
And yeah, our lovely photographer Dal required stitches backstage.
Yes.
Stitched him up real good. I'm like, you want to go back out there? Yeah, it's my fucking job. Okay, gonna sabu you. Go. Fucking go. And he got a pop.
Yeah.
He got a pop.
Yeah, absolutely. That was unfortunate. The moment that Vixen's talking about is when a light tube got shot off and flew into the crowd and clipped the photographer, which wasn't ideal. There was a lot of stuff like that.
Look, light tubes are unpredictable.
Yeah.
But fuck, life is unpredictable. You just take it as it comes, and he literally took it to the head.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm sure as like a deathmatch fan and somebody that covers it, hey, it's an experience, right?
Yeah, like a lot of people can get cranky and pissed off and saying it's not safe, whatever, but in everyday life, is it fucking safe to even go outside? Like, it's just a risk we're going to have. Like,
you know what it is when you buy the ticket, man. Like, you know.
So. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think in life you can think, what if or how the fuck did I do that or whatever. But you just, for me, just to fucking go for it. And he went for it. And he had a hell of a time. Like, Saturday night, Bakugai Jin, Ref Tom, at the time, Sarge, I should say. Dell and Bo come back to my house and we had a Japanese-style barbecue. I would have invited you guys, but we were so fucking squished. Like, we were all like this because we were sitting literally at the front of my house because there's only a little light. But next time I'll be more prepared.
That's
And I'm like, do you want me to clean you up more? And he's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I just can't believe that. Took it like a fucking trooper, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, barbecue was really nice. I had 3 beers and I was smashed, which was ridiculous.
Well, that's because you had lost quite a lot of blood. Which night was this, Saturday or Sunday? Saturday night.
Yeah. Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And Sae was there, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Gave Pondo and Dale some kangaroo some other Australian, like Australian Wagyu and whatnot. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. I really wish I could invite it. I could invite like the Pulse, you guys, but it was just so fucking squished.
Yeah, we ended up, we did, we should have gone to sleep because, like I said, we were up since 3, but we ended up like eating hot pot with the Pulse and then like out to like 1 a.m. drinking those guys. So, yeah, it was just a low key Perth night for us. The four of us caught up, you know, and had a bit of a hang. And then in the next day, we were going to all catch an Uber out to the show together, but Amy and I were not ready. And at the time, I didn't think I was doing anything on the show at all. Yeah. And then I rock up and Ryan's like, well, we're just going to do this too. I don't even know if our commentary for ICW will be on IWTV. I haven't had a chance to speak to Daddy about it. I don't really want to bother him about it either. So I don't know whether anybody will ever hear it. Yeah. You'll bother him. You'll bully him into it for
me. I'll just spam the shit out of him.
Well, I mean, even if he doesn't use it, I forget, like Joel had mentioned, putting it on a DVD or something like that. Even so, it'd be really fun because, hey, we had a blast. And also I had like Madman Pondo and Dale Patricks do commentary with me at different times during the day well, which is wild, right? Those guys are so cool. And so like since I first met Pondo, he's always been so kind to me. We had a mutual friend, Corey Higdon, who ran Deathmatch Worldwide, RIP.
Yes, I know him.
Not Corey, he's fine, but he closed down the site. But they're very good friends, and Corey introduced me to Pondo, and ever since he's been so giving with his time and, like, friendship to me. So, like, yeah, it was great to just hang out with him anytime I get the chance, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it was my first time meeting Pondo and Dale. Both super lovely, like, Dale's not to be slept on. Like, he's fucking amazing.
He's amazing.
Like, I think he's probably like literally one of the best American deathmatch wrestlers I've seen.
I think I absolutely agree. I think Japan looks really good on him. I think that's absolutely helping his career. He's in the best shape of his life. He's absolutely killing it. But I do think there's a part of him that's maybe like I think he deals with that self-doubt thing that you've been talking about. You know what I mean? I think there's a part of him that maybe thinks, you know, he can't do it or shuts himself down, but I think he needs to realize he's literally like a deathmatch ace. Like he's fucking
like he's
amazing.
He's like a deathmatch fucking king. Like,
yeah.
He's up there like almost like Kasai level, Takeda level. Like I think Pondo's taking him under his wing, which is great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's fucking awesome. Like, don't sleep on him. Like, I only just met him last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, just to be so fucking humbled as well and just so respectful of everything. Like, it's pretty fucking rare.
He was having a blast. He was having such a great time. You know who he reminded me of was the previous ICW tour. It was the first time I ever saw Eric Ryan wrestle. And I don't mean they're the same guy or anything like that, but when Eric Ryan wrestled, there's like an intention in the way he moves and things like that. There's like an intensity and a brutality and stuff like an explosiveness. And Dale absolutely has that. Like, all you need to look at is when they broke the door that wouldn't break in your guys' match. When Pondo gives him the saw bat to chop it, the bat breaks, and so he just runs and just with everything he has jumps through the door. You know, there's like with so much fucking explosiveness that I was like, this guy is just crazy. Like, he's unbelievably talented.
And the intensity that he has, it's like if I was on a street, like on the street and I got into a fight, it's like that. Like, it's fucking real. It comes from deep down.
Yeah.
Which is rare to see because you just see people like strippers. Like, you just see strippers just going through the motions, not feeling the music, not feeling their environment.
Yeah.
Just, I actually got into a fight with a stripper one time.
This doesn't surprise me in any way.
I was at Werribee at the Spotty. I don't know. It's a pretty gross strip joint. This stripper come out. She had this candle. She was doing the candle wax thing. After her performance, you don't know how to work a crowd.
You said that to her.
And she just lunged at me. I'm like, let's fucking go. But I was so angry. I was angry, very angry teenager. But, yeah, going back to Dale, like, he's got big things ahead of him. I don't think he realises how good he fucking is.
I don't think he does either. Like,
he's just inspiring the next wave of deathmatch wrestlers, including myself. Like, he's an inspiration to me. I really love this match with Joel.
Yeah. Like, same.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That was a hard one to top for the weekend as well. Like, Dale and Joel together was so good. Yeah, it was just, fuck, it was a good weekend. I'm trying not to get into it too much because I know it's not like live yet. This will still be a few weeks before this goes out. But I'm like, when does it all come out? Because I'm trying not to like spoil things for people.
Oh, I'm just talking the whole time. I'm like, oops.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It'll still be a couple of weeks off. This will come out after Japan, I imagine, like by the time everything's said and done. Let's quickly touch on Say, because we've said his name a few times. It was great to see him in Australia. He's somebody that I've had the pleasure of hanging out with in Japan a few times. And I know you guys are really close. You had him under your wing and were really taking care of him over the weekend.
Like, oh, yeah.
How did you first meet Say?
So I met Say in 2012. I did a tour with Mad Dog. Actually debuted at Corrigan Hall.
Uh-huh.
For BJW Summit with all other promotions. Uh-huh. Shit myself, by the way.
Yeah, no,
I have thrown up in the toilets at Corrigan Hall in the locker room, just so you know. But also, little quick story in that, Danny Havoc and Masada are on the show.
Nuts.
And some German guys and whatnot. I remember coming out of the toilet and being so fucking pale. And Danny's like, you got this. It's fucking chill. Just be you.
Yeah.
I didn't know this guy from a bar of fucking soap. Yeah.
This is Danny and Havoc thought, you're talking about, Deathmatch legend, RIP. Danny Havoc.
Like, that's still today, like, means so much to me for someone being so nice.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know.
Everybody speaks about him, right? Like, I never got to meet or speak to Danny Havoc, but I have so many friends who were friends with him, and they all speak about him like that, right? Like,
yeah.
He just sounds like an amazing person, and it just sucks, man.
So, yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Like, I've had a lot of friends being in the same situation and the outcome the same.
Yeah.
It sucks, but life must go on and you must keep them with you at all times.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, going back to meeting Say, I think it was after the match, it was like a tag team match and then it was a rumble. That fucking rumble was so bizarre because we did it as soon as midnight hit.
Yeah.
But it was just fucking
that
crazy.
That is wild.
We went to... You're going to kill me because I can't remember the name of the crappy Italian restaurant.
Saizera.
Yes, we went there, mm-hmm. And that was the first. I have a picture.
We've never been to Saizera. You know, like, we've been to Japan like over 10 times. I think, I can't remember if this next trip is our 11th or 12th trip, but we've never gone into a Saizera.
I like it because when you're really hungover, you just go in there and order a pizza for $2. They're like little pizzas, and you just, and it's all you can drink, like, Cokes and whatnot.
This is amazing advice right here. This is going to keep us alive. We need to get into it this next
Yeah, course. Like, I just need fucking grease right now because I've tried to drink Mad Dog under the table and Caesar under the table. But this was the first restaurant that I met him. It was very timid. It was very quiet and whatnot. Obviously didn't know me very well.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm just like, hey, Caesar, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've met him. Well, over like a long time ago now, and ever since then we've just clicked. Like, he goes, "You're just so beautiful. It's crazy to see you be a deathmatch fighter." And I'm like, "Say, if you keep saying that, I'm gonna destroy my face more." So he stopped saying it now. But yeah, I know he drew some artwork for the Aussie guys when a bunch of guys from PWA Melbourne went over there back in the day. But I was the first Aussie to get T-shirts printed with his design.
You were?
It was,
wow.
It was so different, so niche at the time. And now I've got like five or six of his designs.
Yeah, you've got heaps of side designs.
Yeah. I just give him a match and some pictures and he just works his magic. Like,
yeah.
The Misfortune T-shirt that he did
so
for us
cool.
for the tour is fucking unbelievable. He's just captured us.
Yeah, he does that. We I spoke to him. I had him do the Dude Wears My Ring shirt. Have you seen that one?
The one. Oh yeah, I want one. I've been asking Michelle.
Yeah, exactly. You need to get her on it. But like, I kind of spoke to him about it, and I literally he doesn't know these wrestlers. He hasn't watched the YouTube or come to a live show. I just sent him pictures of all the people that were going to be on it. And the likenesses, like, that he came up with, it's just like, it's crazy, right? Like, he can just like capture people. It's just really impressive. And the person, I think the person he draws best is Pondo. He's obviously been drawing him for his whole career.
And, well, he was his first T-shirt design, right?
Exactly, exactly. And he was kind of like his first one. And Pondo has like, you know, a pretty distinct sort of look about him. But at the point now where it's like a fine art, like anytime you see, like they're just synonymous with each other, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I think he has the same feel when he draws Mad Dog.
Yes.
He's drawn Mad Dog a lot on the BCW T-shirts because all the BCW T-shirts are Sayazawa's designs.
Yeah.
Which are fucking
That's
crazy.
So cool. Yeah.
Like taking him to BCW on Friday and showing him all the merch is like, I just said, it's a Sayazawa shop. He was just mind blown. But he just really captures something that a lot of people, like they just, you know, it's like the whole stripper thing. They're just, whatever, just going through the motions. But he literally feels what you feel. Like he'll research the shit out of you. He'll watch your matches. He'll stalk your socials. He just gets the feel. Like there's one of my favorite designs is me giving Godzilla a fucking float over elbow drop.
Yeah, that one's sick.
Like I didn't ask him to put Godzilla in it or anything. He just goes, oh, I really like this moment. Here you go. I'm like, what the – this is fucking crazy. Like how did you – and plus he always makes me look sexy when he draws me. And I'm like,
he loves
that. Like the Australian hardcore design – that me and Mad Dog got done, well, he did it for us for a fucking surprise in October last year. That's probably one of my favorite designs. Mm. Just the fucking intensity. Mm. It's just fucking nuts.
It's awesome.
Which it is available on.
I was going to ask you if you've got a site up at the moment where people
can
buy your stuff. Yeah,
I do. I'm so shit. I forgot the fucking name. Big Cartel. I will. I can tell you because I should have just gone blank, but they've been really good. All
I'll
my
put
tops
the link
are on
in
there.
The show notes. That's what we'll do. I'm also going to, while we're chatting, just going to Google Vixen and just Big Cartel Vixen and just see if it immediately appears. That's what I'm going to do.
Ringside Cartel.
Oh, Ringside Cartel. There we go. Anyway, this is fascinating radio for everybody while I figure this out.
Because I'm like, wrestle merch? But I'm like, no, they're gone.
Yeah. But speaking to him, I did, and you know, I met him in real life and then I had the opportunity to interview him and he was gracious with his time and I even got in a translator to do it. But like hearing him talk about
that interview.
Thank you so much. It was like something that I really wanted to put the effort in because he deserves it and like so he has so many Western fans that just, you know, I felt they needed to hear from him. And shout out to Yuki Kasai Pere as well, who was the translator for that. She did an amazing job. She's working on a documentary right now and when that comes out we will absolutely promote it. Okay, I've got it coming. I've got the – here we go. It is ringsidecartel.com/vixen. We'll get you there. And then I'm looking at that Australian hardcore design right now, and that is very cool.
But I think I'm going to do a run of those, especially if Mad Dog comes back. When he comes back, I don't know. But, yeah, it's just a fucking cool top. Like,
yeah.
It's just the intensity. I don't know how he does it. Sayazawa is fucking awesome.
He is.
He's such a good friend of mine. Every time we're in Japan, I try and drink him under the table. Doesn't fucking work. I try and drink Mad Dog under the table. Doesn't fucking work. It normally ends up with me being very sick or being a bit, you know, the next day a little bit, how's it going?
Everybody but, was buying Say drinks the entire weekend. He was well and truly taking care of.
I was telling, I told a few people, make sure this guy has a drink in his hand the whole time. Even Pondo said that. He was very drunk.
But he carries it well, you know, because he's so quiet and stuff. You don't even know. In reality, he's like in a walking stupor. But like,
I would just love to think. I would love to be in his mind when he's drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, especially in a different country.
I know. With this,
but no, I looked after him. Yeah. I made sure he was comfortable. We went and fed the kangaroos. That was cool. He got to pat a koala.
Koala bit Pondo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it did.
Watch out for that clap.
I don't know if you saw. Yeah, I know. Fuck, that's sus. I don't know if you saw, but when we were all at dinner on the last night, Say was palming off his beer to me. He was pouring it in my glass like he needed a break because people kept buying him drinks.
Oh, yeah. Vix and Son no more. I'm like, what? I do not understand. What did you say? And then I forgot that I paid for him at the China bar we went to, and we all just got up and left, and he's like confused, what's going on? And he's trying to give me money. I'm like, just no selling him. I'm like, no, yeah. You're my guest. Fuck that.
He took us.
He did so much.
Where did we go? We went to some. I don't know. We managed to catch up like after a DDT show in Tokyo. Really late notice as well. This was the last time we were there, and I was like, "Are you in the city or whatever?" It's like, "I can be." And we were like, where should we go? And he took us to a place, and we did the same thing. We just like paid the bill, and he was like, what? And I was like, no. And he just didn't understand. He was like, I want to pay you, contribute. I was like, no, thank you for everything you do. Like, you know, I want to do this for you kind of thing. He's a sweet man.
He's cheeky though, because he started doing that as well when we go over there, and we're like, I have to get up and fucking pay straight away because otherwise.
Oh, he'll try and get you.
Yeah, no, and I'm like, no. So I think he learnt that trick from me and Mad Dog because, yeah, I just think it's like, I don't know. If I can afford it, I'll pay for my friends.
Yeah.
And he's done so much for me and Mad Dog over the years with our designs and everything. Like, I just like to be nice.
Yeah. Did I tell you? I probably didn't tell you the story, but just a little side anecdote, just because it'll interest you. So when I first met Say, it was at DDT. There's like a DDT bar in Shinjuku, like right up in that main kind of area, yeah, opposite the building, you know, with the Godzilla head on it. I forget what it's called, so bear with me. We've been there a few times, but Pondo had messaged me and said, hey, a few of us are going for, you know, going to this bar or whatever. If you want to come past, it'd be great to see you. So we rocked up and Sabre's there, and that's where I met him for the first time. He was sitting there with Pondo, and he was telling me he's putting together all his designs in a book, and he had like a draft of it and was showing it to me and stuff. But then the next day we were somewhere completely different in Tokyo. Fuck, I'm so bad at all the names. Amy would know where it was. Somewhere nowhere near like the main area. And we were just on this like rooftop bar because we're going to grab a drink and then we're going to somewhere else. And then my mate Chris looks over his shoulder and goes, hey, isn't that guy that you were speaking to last night? And I look over, and there was a bunch of people, and I couldn't really see where he was. And I messaged him because we'd spoken on Messenger and stuff before in the past. I was like, hey, are you at this place or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And he was on like the same rooftop, just like middle of Japan, like of all the places it could be. And they wanted to go see something else, and he asked me to have a drink, and there was another promoter there. And so, and I ended up sitting down with these people and just hanging out with Say for like an hour and drinking. It's like, what was the chances of just like running into him again? And then we would go on to like become buds and stuff like that. But it was like two nights in a row chance encounters, you know, and then he's like in our country hanging out.
He's like just hanging out.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah. He's a great person. And I loved how much love he bottling. Got.
Like literally, if I had his blood, it would be on a bottle in my house.
Well, don't do that. He needs it. He needs to keep it. And the amount of support he got from everybody in that building over the 2 days, from the American wrestlers, from Danny, from Joel, from all the fans, you just love to see it. Like, it was just really cool.
Yeah.
He deserves that level of respect. The man's an icon, you know.
Oh yeah, he's the fucking king. I always tell him, say you're the fucking king.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no. I'm like, yes, take it. Just please.
But he had an amazing time and had all kinds of experiences that he didn't expect.
Oh yeah. And I just made sure he was drunk and had lots of food and was happy. He was very surprised by some things here, which he's been over a few times before. Uh-huh. It's just, every time it's just like, oh, yeah, you haven't, like, the first time he came, he tried crocodile and kangaroo. Uh-huh. And this time he tried like finger limes. I just tried to make him try different shit that he wouldn't normally try.
Just give him as much experiences that are foreign to him as possible. Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't die with money. You don't die with possessions. You die with your memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Can't take it with you, so you may as well enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
You which is why we constantly travel to Japan and things like that, because it's like, fuck it.
I love it. It's my zen.
Yeah. It reinstores my faith in humanity every time I go.
Oh, yeah. It literally recharges my batteries, like, yeah, in wrestling and just in life.
Yeah.
Because that's always been such a goal of mine, just to get there, let alone last time I was there, I had a hardcore match that was fucking insane for Freedoms. Uh-huh. But, yeah, just being there, that's why I'm so proud of Dale and people that go over there and stay at the dojos, mm-hmm, and put in the hard yards. Like, it's fucking hard.
Yeah. It is. It's not easy. Like, as much as I'd love to be there all the time, I imagine, like, legit living and working in Japan is not an easy thing to do, especially as a foreigner.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've got a few friends that teach English over there, and they say it's hard. I'm like, that's just my fucking dream, but I do not want to leave my cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially because some of them have health issues and whatnot.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, every time I'm there, I make sure that I take every fucking opportunity, and I just ride with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you never know if it's going to be your last. Like, the pandemic closed down fucking everything for years.
Yeah.
Which sucked.
Yeah, it really did. Like, we, and Japan's such a stickler for the rules too. Like, we went back like a couple of years after the pandemic, and like, they still had all the same rules in place and stuff. Like, Australia had long since given up on all that stuff, and it took us like 4 hours to get through an airport and stuff. And we're like, what's going on?
I remember you telling me, and I'm like, okay, I'll hold off in a little bit to go.
Hold off, because it's great. It's not that now, but like, that was, it did not surprise me, because Japan's big on rules. You know, we do things a certain way and it's done. And so if something like that gets put in place, they're like, this is the way it's done now. And then it takes quite a while for them to change. You know, they're like, we need to be sure, we need to be careful. And so they'll then carry on those rules for years, you know.
And not only that, in their culture, there's a lot of unwritten rules as well.
Yes.
So you got to learn that as well as all these other fucking rules. And I just didn't want it to taint my experiences in Japan, or, you know, in life, because that's my happy place.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Happy Gilmore, my happy place.
Yeah, you just think about your times in the streets of Japan.
Yeah, yeah. But when I was just like, it was so weird. Like during COVID, I would be having dreams. Like I've got so many friends over there. Like I'd be having these weird dreams that I'll go to Japan and I wouldn't go to my friend's bar, or I would forget my wrestling gear. It was like weird anxiety dreams. Like it was not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So going back in 2019 was amazing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, gave Say the biggest fucking hug. I think there's a picture of literally picking him up in a bear hug.
Yeah. Just finally getting back. Exactly. Anybody listen to this, like, I can't recommend a trip to Japan enough. I know it's maybe almost predictable at this point, you know what I mean, but it really is a very special place for a reason. And it really, unless you're like trying to hit the hits and do all the theme parks and things like that, all those, you know, more touristy things, they can get expensive and it can be a pricey trip. But if you're not doing that kind of stuff, if you're just like getting some good flights, booking your accommodation smart, and you're just like getting around Japan, it can actually be really, really affordable.
Oh, yeah. I've had so many people tell me it's so expensive. I'm like, where the fuck are you going then?
Yeah.
Like,
how many times you go to fucking Japan? How much does this shit cost you? It's like, bro, we just bought flights direct out of Perth for like $950 each.
That's so good.
Direct. How much did it cost you to fly to Melbourne? You know, if you're not like, if you don't get like some crazy like $350 flight or something like that, it can cost a lot of money to fly across this country, you know?
Yeah,
and then when I'm there, all the food and the drinks and stuff, I'm not buying $13 pints in Japan. I'm buying like $2 strong zeros from a 7-Eleven. You know what I mean?
Like I took Say to Dan Murphy's here, and I'm like, Say, be prepared for bullshit fucking prices.
Yeah.
And he was shocked.
Yeah.
Even like a bottle of water, he's like $4.
Yeah.
And over there, it's like 100 yen. It's like a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, you get like a tall boy Asahi can from a 7-Eleven or whatever, $2 max or whatever. Here, that's like a premium beer. And like, it's ridiculous.
I hate the fact that they're selling beers in 4-packs now here. Like, what the fuck is that?
It's bullshit. Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Yeah. But that's it. And like,
I'm not a big drinker.
Well.
Yeah. Just because of my childhood, not all the shit that went down. But when I drink, I enjoy it. And it's fucking hard. Like, 4-packs, like nearly like for good beer, it's like $35.
Yeah. No, it's so expensive. Well, speaking about the drinking thing, I mean, that's a good opportunity. We were briefly talking about it before, but drinking doesn't really go hand in hand with your fitness journey as well, because you were saying to me that, like, you've really been stepping up that, and I think it definitely, you can see that in the ring. How has that been, like, that transition into really, like, counting that stuff and, like, making it count? Because the intention has become very obvious, I think.
So I'm seeing a trainer from Sydney, Fit Fueled. Uh-huh. It's been fucking life-changing for me. I was in a bad place with work. I needed to change jobs. I was over being a fucking butcher.
Yeah.
I did that for a long time. Before that, I was a chef.
It takes its opportunity toll, too, like a butcher. My dad was a butcher, and he's had, like, 2 to 3 shoulder reconstructions, like, in his life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I've already fucked my shoulder. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was an opportunity. My health was deteriorating. My ankles were fucked. I had to ice my ankles every night. Ugh. Just standing up for 14 fucking hours in fucking shit work boots.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm short, everything was hanging, like, all the carcasses were hanging up real high. So I had to stand in a fucking milk crate.
Yeah. Which is risky every single time.
Yeah, and just fucking getting the fucking butchers in line. They say something, fuck, I'll just give them my peace of mind. Like, yeah. No. Like, I see them bullying other fucking co-workers, I'll just step in. I didn't care, whatever.
Yeah.
It was just time for me to move on. Like, mm-hmm. It was affecting my personal life and my wrestling, mm-hmm. Especially my wrestling. So when I changed jobs back to being a head chef, I decided, fuck it, I'm going to look after myself. So I went on a fitness journey. Mm-hmm. I've lost since February last year 23 kilos.
Wow.
Which is a fucking lot.
That's amazing.
It's fucking weird. It's like a small Sayazawa, I've lost you kind of thing. But, yeah, so just really tightening up. It's like I wasn't even overeating. It was just I wasn't eating enough protein, wasn't having enough water, mm-hmm. wasn't looking after myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm always looking after other people.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's just how I'm programmed. I can't help it.
Yeah.
So if I'm mothering you at a show or being an annoying big sister, that's just me. I'm sorry. So I wanted to work with a female trainer. Mm-hmm. I've worked with male trainers in the past, but I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to try something different. So she's fucking amazing. She's based in Sydney. Mm-hmm. I annoy the shit out of her with lots of voice messages, especially the past weekend. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be bleeding lots. I'm going to get stabbed in the head. I'm going to probably be bruised to the fucking shit house. Can you help me? What do I need to do? Yeah. So she was great, like wrote out plans and whatnot. But yeah, it's been a journey, and I've definitely cut down on my drinking. I don't drink a lot anyway because I'm a fucking lightweight. Like I had 3 beers last Saturday and I was fucking tipsy as and it couldn't shut me up.
Yeah. Again, that's because you had lost like your weight in blood. So that plays.
Oh, yeah. Like Sunday night, I was fucked. I was absolutely fucked. If it wasn't for Danny giving me some orange juice and champagne glass.
Fancy.
Like, or even the car ride from the fucking venue to China Bar, I had the New Zealand boys and Brooke in there, and I was just, I'm like, just keep talking to me. I'm fucking falling asleep. I've forgotten to look after myself.
Dude, I was so exhausted. Like, by the time we were at that bar, I was so exhausted, and I didn't wrestle any matches over the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, so all I did was yell. So I imagine it just must be an entire different level.
I drank like 4 liters of water.
Yeah.
at the China bar. But yeah, so big shout out to those guys for helping me in the car because I was fucked.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't go home until I'm fucking hydrated because it's only a 20-minute drive from the city to my house. It was a fucking weird drive home. It was so fucking windy and just dark and there was no cars.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the scene from The Simpsons, you know, where he's driving home anyway.
Yeah. Is that when are you talking about like the dream one where he's like falling asleep in the car?
That's what it felt like. It was so bizarre. But I got home okay. I was fine.
I'm glad.
But yeah, it was funny.
It was a great weekend. And I just think, like, when we talk about your entire journey right now and your focus and the states, and then, you know, it's funny how the different pieces fall in place in your life, you know what I mean? You started taking charge of it. You're like, I need to get out of this job. I need to focus on my fitness. I need to do these things. And then other things start to fall in place as well. And it really does speak to what that mental toughness can achieve and that dedication can achieve, because it just feels like something has shifted for you and you can see it really taking hold, I think.
I know my face has gone red again.
Sorry.
I still don't know how to take compliments or, you know, when people says something good about me.
Sure.
That's just me. Yeah. But yeah, so the fitness journey has been huge for me. Like, it's, and I just feel so much better, yeah. Especially in ring. I feel so much better. Uh-huh. It's just brought a new confidence to me. Like, I wasn't unhealthy. Like, I wasn't eating McDonald's every day in the past. I literally just was not looking after myself. I wasn't eating enough. I just wasn't eating enough.
Yeah. Which is wild to say, because everybody is always like, you know, oh, what do I diet? Do I need to be on things like that? It's not about that. It's like everything, right? It's like the general care of yourself. It's enough sleep. It's enough water. It's eating the right things.
Yeah.
Like all of this.
I've definitely listened to a lot of nutrition podcasts and just getting into that side of things a lot more now. Just like, I've always been interested in, like, not doctor stuff, but like the human body and how it reacts to things, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So it's funny, but when I actually finished high school, I wanted to be I wanted to study personal training and whatnot, but unfortunately shit went down at home. I couldn't do that. I had to go straight into, well, I was working from 16 anyway, but straight into like three jobs kind of deal.
Sure.
So sports science has always been interesting to me, mm-hmm. and my body reacts to things pretty well, mm-hmm. including being stabbed in the head with a screwdriver. So yeah, it's been great. Like, there's no stopping me now. So yeah. I've got this behind me. I've got probably about 10 more kilos I want to lose. And then, yeah.
And then watch out, entire world.
Like, I'm doing this for me, but I'm also doing this for every fucking person that told me no.
Yeah.
I know people say you shouldn't do it for that reason, but that's the fuel to my fire. I'm doing this in despite being told no from family members, my mom, fucking trainers in the past, other wrestlers that said your face is too pretty for deathmatch. Like, fuck off. I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it to show you guys that I fucking got it and I've always fucking had it.
Yeah. That's so awesome. And also doing it as well, I think there's a little part for all the people that did believe in you, despite what everybody else said, you know, that small group of people that got around you real early and stuff like that. It's nice to prove them right as well, right?
Yeah. It's good to prove them right. Like, thank you for giving me opportunities. Like, I'm just taking the ball and I'm running with it, and yeah. I want to make you all fucking proud. Like, Lobo was a huge inspiration to me, uh-huh. Him and Mad Dog's match, and just getting to – I never worked PWA in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. It was like I was breaking through when they were closing up.
Yeah.
But just to get messages from him, like I've told him over the past weekend, hey, I wrestled Pondo. He would tell me, I'm so proud of you. Just you're unique. You're, you know, just – getting small shit like that just makes this worthwhile.
That's so awesome, bud. I can't wait to see what's next, and I'm just glad you're in such a great place, you know. So that's awesome. So tell the people one more time where to find you on social media, yeah?
So Facebook, Instagram, and X, it's Vixen, V-I-X-S-I-N, 86. TikTok is the same, I think. Mm-hmm. Where else? My T-shirts are on Ringside Cartel. And then, yeah, if you ever want to reach out for advice or anything, just fucking DM me.
Absolutely.
But I will leave people with this note. Yeah. If anyone's ever told you no in life for anything, fuck them. Sorry.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. What a great piece of advice to end the show. Everybody, keep an eye on the horizon for everything Vixen. There's big things coming and she's working very, very hard. And I can tell you, one of the most genuinely kind people I've met in the world of deathmatch wrestling. So I want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you for getting up this morning. Thanks for making me get out of bed and have a good chat. And yeah, keep an eye peeled on our adventures in Japan, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you back over there very soon, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So everybody out there, follow everything Vixen, and remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Countout Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy. And the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumpy Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumpy Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.